Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning to you on this Thursday, April the 2nd. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, as President-elect Muhammadu Buhari vows to rid Nigeria of terror, we ask what the future holds for outgoing President Goodluck Jonathan.
I think his political future is in doubt, because it is not easy to leave the presidency and seek for any other elected position apart from the presidency again.
And Kenya's anti-graft watchdog suffers a major blow with the resignation of one of its commissioners.
When you see that there are differences of opinion, it has made me really uncomfortable. I have not felt that I'm able to perform my duties and my mandate as a commissioner.
Just two of our stories coming up in this edition of Africa Link. Stay tuned.
Top story.
President-elect Muhammadu Buhari has vowed to rid Nigeria of terror after his historic election victory, marking the first democratic transfer of power in Africa's most populous nation. World leaders and other officials have hailed Nigeria for conducting a successful democratic election. In the United States, the Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, proclaimed, "Nigeria is a trailblazer." With more reaction to the Nigerian poll, here's Eunice Wanjuru.
In a statement, African Union Chief Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma congratulated Muhammadu Buhari for winning Nigeria's presidential election, praising the outgoing leader Goodluck Jonathan for graciously accepting the results. Dlamini Zuma also said the result clearly demonstrates the maturity of democracy in Nigeria. Ghana's President John Mahama praised President Jonathan for accepting defeat. Mahama, who is also the chairman of West African Regional Bloc, ECOWAS, congratulated outgoing President Goodluck Jonathan for his leadership and statesmanship, and President-elect Buhari for his victory. Mahama also commended Nigerians for their determination and courage throughout the election period. He urged the general public to continue observing the atmosphere of peace. Germany's Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier also congratulated Buhari for winning the elections. He added that the handing over of the government should be of importance to everyone despite the great challenges Nigeria is facing. Steinmeier also commended Jonathan for having played his part by conceding defeat. The British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond hailed the successful presidential election in Britain's former colony, Nigeria, and hoped that the transition of power would remain peaceful. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon congratulated Nigeria's new president-elect Muhammadu Buhari for his election victory and described the vote as a testament to the maturity of Nigeria's democracy. He called on Nigerians to accept the outcome of the vote and resolve complaints through legal channels. U.S. President Barack Obama praised Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan for conceding defeat in an election that he said showed Nigeria's commitment to democratic principles. Obama also praised Nigeria's Independent National Election Commission and its chairman, which he said deserves special recognition for what independent international observers have deemed a largely peaceful and orderly vote.
Eunice Wanjuru, Buhari will not only have to steer Africa's biggest economy through choppy waters, he will also have to tackle the many other challenges the country faced under outgoing President Goodluck Jonathan. So what does the future hold for Jonathan? Assumpta Lattas put that question to Garba Kare, lecturer in political science at the University of Abuja.
Well, I think his political future is in doubt, because it is not easy to leave the presidency and seek for any other elected position apart from the presidency again. And in Nigerian history, no leader who has left power has ever remained completely politically relevant. And second, Goodluck Jonathan comes from the minority in Niger Delta area, minority in terms of population, and even there, he comes from an ethnic group that is not necessarily dominant there. So he may simply remain a statesman an ex-president and end his retirement, but I don't think he has a bright future politically.
The ruling PDP is set to become Nigeria's new opposition party now. How do you see it faring?
Yeah, this is quite interesting, particularly given the fact that PDP had boasted as being the largest political party in Africa, and it has been in the saddle for 16 years, and suddenly it is a minority party. It is quite interesting how it will be in its new status, and particularly given the fact that in Nigeria, people don't want to be in the opposition. So it will not surprise me if the rank of the PDP becomes systematically depleted through switching of camps and defections to the ruling APC. Nigerian politicians, in most cases, will always want to identify with the center. They will want to be in government. It is not impossible that PDP will further become a minority. In other words, the fortunes of the PDP will likely continue to dwindle, given the fact that it does not enjoy power at the center. But I think it all depends on the next round of election on April 11, when election into the governorship positions in about 30 states will be contested. If the PDP is able to retain most of its states, it will remain afloat and constitute a formidable opposition. If not, then the death knell may have been sounded on the PDP.
How optimistic are you for Nigeria's political future?
There is a huge wave of optimism among Nigerians. This election has really rekindled the hopes of so many Nigerians, and for so many reasons. One, the election was largely devoid of the kind of problem that had envisaged before it was organized. Some had made very dangerous predictions about the future of the country, including its outright breakup. But all these did not come to pass. And with the results of the election, it is now very clear that Nigerians are beginning to imbibe strong political culture. It is very clear now the votes of an ordinary voter in Nigeria count, and that the people can actually effect change in leadership at any level of the political process.
Garba Kare in Abuja. You're listening to Africa Link from Deutsche Welle.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Now, we heard earlier in our program that Nigeria's president-elect has vowed to defeat the Boko Haram Islamist militants. The UN Human Rights Council in Geneva, meanwhile, has adopted a resolution calling on the international community to support those African countries fighting the insurgents. The move was made at a special session of the Human Rights Council. While Wednesday's discussions were still in progress, Assumpta Latest asked Cedric Sape, spokesperson for the UN Human Rights Commissioner in Geneva, about the timing of this special session, bearing in mind that the insurgency has been battering Nigeria for six long years.
The council got this request from states last week. I don't think it's really linked to the elections, but of course this is a situation that we've been monitoring for a while now. It's not something that we address for the first time, but of course today is a full day devoted only to that issue.
And what does the UN Human Rights Council's special session on Boko Haram expect to achieve then?
Right now, the states are still taking the floor and discussing the situation. And we have a draft resolution. It's not final yet, but there is a proposed text that has been submitted by the African states themselves. And this resolution would, of course, express concern at the increase of incidents in the region, the amount of atrocities, the abuses of international human rights law and violations of human rights law, the targeting of civilians. We're looking at very specific human rights violations like the recruitment and use of children, the sexual and gender-based violence, the forced recruitment of female suicide bombers, etc., etc. So the text would, of course, highlight these issues, and it would call for the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights to prepare a report on all these abuses and violations. And this report should be then submitted to the council at its plenary session next September.
So the session is only going to discuss human rights abuses, or is it also going to come out with strategic measures to stop these atrocities from being perpetrated?
Well, it is one of the measures to put the pressure first on states to act. And of course, it's always difficult because you're dealing with a group that is a terrorist group and is not replying to calls to respect human rights. So of course, you can always say, how would you enforce this?
Cedric Sape. In Kenya, efforts to defeat corruption have suffered another blow with the resignation of one of the commissioners in the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission. She stepped down after the anti-graft watchdog unveiled corruption allegations against more than 100 government officials. Alfred Kitty in Nairobi has the story.
The resignation of Professor Jane Onsongo as member of the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission has thrown the anti-corruption body into a limbo. Onsongo says she was forced to resign after citing differences of opinion among fellow commissioners.
For the commission to function effectively, you need the secretariat and the commission, which plays an oversight role, working together in harmony. So when you see that there are differences of opinion, has made me really uncomfortable. I have not felt that I'm able to perform my duties and my mandate as a commissioner.
The report, which names cabinet secretaries, governors and politicians involved in massive graft scandals, has generated a heated debate in the East African nation. Some of those named have stepped aside, but others like Mombasa County Governor Hassan Joho remain defiant. Adan Duale, leader of government business in parliament, expresses his fury at officials who refuse to step aside.
Very close confidant of President Uhuru Kenyatta have resigned. Very close confidant of the deputy president are in this list. If there was a way, I'm sure Jubilee could have removed some of their perceived friends.
According to the Kenyan constitution, any elected leader who steps aside is tantamount to resignation and their seat automatically falls vacant. This means a fresh election has to be conducted. Kenya's opposition has termed the war on graft by President Kenyatta as a political move with ulterior motives. Opposition leader and former Prime Minister Raila Odinga says the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission is an independent commission that need not receive orders from the executive.
They are an independent commission, independent even of the executive. They are people who are supposed to even investigate the president himself and his deputy. So they should not be given instructions by the president. The only conclusion we can draw is that this is politics and business as usual that is meant to hoodwink Kenyans to believing that corruption is now being fought.
President Uhuru Kenyatta is facing intense pressure not to spare anyone within his ruling Jubilee coalition who has been named in the corruption report.
Alfred Kitty. Next, the Crossroads Generation. We were unable to bring you this week's episode on Monday because of the Nigerian elections. But now, today, Thursday, we can all sit back and find out what's been happening to Mercy and her friends.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there. This is Crossroads Generation, our radio series about a group of young Africans looking for their path in life.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
18-year-old Mercy has a young daughter, Linda. Mercy's mother, Lulu, is taking care of her while Mercy goes to university. Mercy's younger brothers, Kadu and Banda, are not always well-behaved, and Banda seems to be deeply under the bad influence of his father, Msoto. And Lulu will be taking care of another child from now on, little Joy, her youngest daughter. Msoto sold her to the wealthy politician Mukaraba almost 4 years ago when she was just a tiny baby. The case ended up in court.
Father, I order that the child in question be handed over to Mrs. Lulu Msoto.
Oh, my baby.
But in spite of all this, things are finally looking good for Mercy. She and her boyfriend Nikki want to get married. And although she recently lost her good friend Trudy, Mercy and another friend, Tina, were able to honor Trudy's memory on the university radio.
I think a lot of our listeners will know that Trudy died here at the university. People believed she was killed as part of a robbery that went wrong, but I think you have evidence that this wasn't the case.
Yes. Before she died, Trudy was compiling a report about the brothel where I used to work.
Having worked in that business, Tina had enough explosive inside information to unmask the man behind the brothel business, the politician Mukaraba. Let's see what's next for our young heroes in today's episode entitled A New Beginning.
Oh no, I thought I'd finished this. What the hell happened? Did I delete it?
Yes, come in.
Hello, Professor Nyambune.
Hello. Tina, just a minute. I'll be with you shortly. Have a seat.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good. Now then, Tina, how are you?
I'm okay. Thank you, Professor.
How are your counseling sessions at the Women's Center going?
They're good. Actually, I have a great counselor. She really knows how to make me feel comfortable. I can talk to her about anything.
Good. Tell me, how many siblings did you say you have?
3. 2 sisters and a brother.
And do they all go to school?
Yes.
And you take care of them all by yourself?
Yes, sir.
Well, Tina, the department has decided to offer you a position as a research assistant at the university radio.
What?
For a small salary. That is, if you want the job.
What? Of course I want it, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hold your horses. Tina, I am putting my neck on the line for you here. You have to promise me that you will no longer have anything to do with your former work.
I won't. I promise. That part of my life is in the past. Oh, my God. I'm so grateful. I don't know how to thank you.
Don't worry about it. Just do your job. And do it well. It will consist of organizing a new weekly radio show about women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
We don't usually offer jobs like this to first-year students, but your contribution to the program on prostitution convinced us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Now go on. Get out of here before I change my mind.
Yes, Professor. Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you, thank you.
These young people? I don't know.
Hello, my name is Margaret. I'm a counselor here. You're Marcy and Nikki, I assume?
Yes.
I understand you're planning to get married.
Yes.
Well, the first thing we usually do is take blood samples from both of you, which will be taken to the lab for HIV testing. Are you okay with that? I must remind you that the test is purely voluntary.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, then. Here's the needle. I'll take a little blood from each of you and put it on these little gadgets. Marcy, give me your finger, please. All right. There we go. Nikki, you're next. Here's your needle. Please give me your finger. Okay. Done. Now tell me, how long have you two known each other?
4 years.
Going on 5.
Oh, and have you been dating all that time?
No, not really.
It wasn't as straightforward as that.
The reason I ask is that marriage is not as easy as people often think. It is a good thing, of course, but you have to be friends first before you decide to get married. Would you say you two are friends?
Yes, definitely. We've had our ups and downs, but we're pretty good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Good. After you get married, you need to be able to maintain that friendship. Another very important element is trust. It's also one of the most difficult things in marriage. You must be able to maintain that trust and not betray your partner.
I think we've been through so much together that we can say we really trust each other.
Definitely.
It says here that you, Marcy, already have a child?
Yes, Linda's 3 years old. Her biological father left me.
What's your take on that, Nikki? Are you ready to be a father to this child?
At first, it was really difficult to accept, and my mother hasn't been very supportive. But Linda's a great kid. I want to be there for her.
Actually, we've agreed that after we get married, Nikki's going to adopt Linda.
Banda,
It's your turn to see why our new sister is crying.
Why, Mikado? I'm already washing the dishes.
Yes, but you can't complain about that. You promised to do that for me every day as long as I don't tell Mom.
Okay, I get it. But it's not fair.
I think it is, but I'll be nice to you today. I will go and check on our new sister. Ever since Joy was given back to us by the judge, I've hardly had a chance to play with her and Linda.
Yes, but that's because you prefer to play with your girlfriend Sam after school.
She's not my girlfriend, and you're just jealous because she's really good at football. Better than you, Banda.
She's your girlfriend.
No, she's not.
Your girlfriend.
What's all that noise about?
Nothing.
And why is Joy crying like that?
I think she's hungry.
Oh, come here, you spoiled little thing. Mom can't afford the fancy food you used to have at Mukarabas, I'm afraid. But I'll make some porridge for you, okay? Be a good girl like your niece Linda, okay? And now you two are going to explain something to me. Banda, your teacher told me you've been missing classes. And Kadu, she told me you said your brother was sick. What is this nonsense?
I'm sorry, Mom.
I'm sorry, too. I was with Dad, but I was learning while I was with him. He taught me all about how to earn money for King Karubu.
What? You've been begging for your father? That's it. I'm never letting him near you again.
Oh, Nikki, I'm nervous.
Why? We're just picking up our results. Nothing to be scared about.
Did you see how distraught that couple looked when they came out? The lady was crying.
Come on, Mercy. I really don't think we have anything to worry about.
Mercy and Nikki, please come in.
Oh my God, here we go.
Sit down, please.
So, Mercy and Nikki, thanks for coming back to our counseling center. We've got your results. First, though, I'd like to know, have you two been involved with each other? Intimately, I mean?
No, we decided to wait.
That's right. Of course, it's obvious that I did have one sexual encounter before. The result is my daughter, Linda. I see. Now, shall I give you your results together?
Together? We have nothing to hide from each other, right, Mercy?
Right. Okay. Mercy, it says here that your status is negative. That means that you don't have HIV. But, Nikki, you've tested positive for HIV.
What?
Please, Nikki, listen to me. I know this must come as a shock, but HIV is no longer a death sentence. There are ways of managing it these days, Nikki. And with the right treatment, you should be able to live your life almost like anybody else. I'll talk to you both about all this, and I'll try to answer all your questions.
Sorry, what?
Wow, that's a heavy turn of events for Nikki and Mercy. We should give them some privacy now. But if you want to know how they deal with that result, be sure to tune in next time. And if you can't wait that long for more from Crossroads Generation, head over to our webpage at dw.de/LBE, where Tina's latest video recording is waiting for you. Until next time, goodbye.
More from the Crossroads Generation on Monday. News coming in here on Africa Link. Two people were killed and more than 20 wounded when gunmen stormed a college in the northeastern Kenyan town of Garissa near the border with Somalia earlier today. That's according to the Reuters news agency. That story is still developing. But there we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. We welcome your comments on this programme, either in a text message to country code 49 160 957 59510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or in a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Isaac Mugabe will be here tomorrow. Do join him if you can. As always, thank you for listening. Until the next time, this is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.